11:59 at Radio Free America, and this is Uncle Sam with music and the truth until dawn. Right now, I got a few words for some of our brothers and sisters in the occupied zone. The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network, a radio station focused on growing indomitable all-American 21st century liberty. This live episode of the Patriot Power Hour is brought to you by Ready-Made Resources. Plan, prepare, preserve with ReadyMadeResources.com. Now, let's welcome our hosts. Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran, and Future Dan, the editor-in-chief of the most original news radar on the planet, FutureDanger.com.
We are live, Patriot Power Hour, episode 56, part 2. Go listen to last week's episode if you want to get in on the inside joke. Regardless, May 13th, 2019, Ben, the breaker of banksters here. I'm my co-host, Future Dan. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, Ben. We haven't talked about it in a long time, but this show started off talking a lot about the run-up in Bitcoin. So we might as well open up and talk about $7,938 per coin today. It's like a nine-month high. So simultaneously, we're going to get into all the headlines later. Stock market's taking its biggest dip in about 4 months. I thought it was interesting to come into the show, perhaps, and talk about things we've talked about before, that being when the system starts to creak and twist and bolts start to pop out of it, Bitcoin could be the place where those bolts fly.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking about trade war. We're talking about massive scare in the stock market and globally. And consequently, is it a coincidence or causation? Hard to tell. But massive amount of funds flowing right into Bitcoin and other altcoins. Yeah. Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash each up 30%+ last week, but Ethereum, XRP, several others up 15%+. Now, still a long way to go. Ethereum, for example, is at about 200 right now. Its all-time high was north of 1,000. However, yours truly bought a little bit. Should have bought a lot more. At $11. So you got to realize, just a few years ago, $11. Now it's 200. Sure, it's not 1,000, but it's marching up steadily. But we did start this show back on episode 1 through about 10, I would say, talk about Bitcoin all the time. At that point, it was at 20,000. Yeah, we're nearing 8,000 now, but it's still down. It's what, 60% since we started the show.
No, we're near its all-time highs. But when we did episode 1 in November of 2017, it was like where it is now. And by episode 3, it was 20 grand.
Right.
That's what that did.
Absolute explosion.
Then you predicted a bear market.
That's true.
And it happened, and it went way down. It's been in a deep trough, touching. Did it touch into the 5,000s earlier this year?
At one point, I believe last year, it was at about 3,800.
Yeah.
So it's doubled.
So it's doubled again.
Off a low.
It's done another double. And we've talked about, is this a legitimate place for capital to fly to? Well, we got MSNBC. I'm sorry, CNBC.
There's so many tentacles of the octopus. I know what you mean.
Yeah. The financial guys, that network.
Yeah, that one. The quote
talking
financial
about
guys.
The flight, banks from, the love flight from equities into Bitcoin again. It was dormant, but it's back with us.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, one thing to really remember is the cryptocurrency market. We'll mostly focus on Bitcoin here. Is very small compared to the global financial market, global stock market, or bond market, let alone both. So all it would take is a small, small amount of that type of institutional money and big time whales of that market to dip their toe into this very, very small market, relatively crypto market.
Everybody.
And it would be huge increases in values to 20,000 and beyond, potentially. I think, gosh, I don't have the numbers in front of me, and it was a few weeks ago I read this, but if the market cap of cryptocurrency as a whole was the same market cap as gold in terms of trillions of dollars overall value, then crypto would be like 10 times higher than it is right now. So we're talking 50,000 plus for Bitcoin. If it is the digital gold everyone says it is now, maybe it's just a big scam. We talk about that in a lot of the longtime archives. Go back. I encourage people to go back to the archives and listen to some of those first shows from November, December 2017 as the highs were being reached and then the bubble popped. But I always get excited with this topic, but it is something to be careful of. I wouldn't go dump your life savings into it right now, for example.
Yeah, if you're listening to this, we're not going to get into blockchain and how it works and why it's different from fiat currency or any other kind of asset or currency class. We've done that before. You know, we're talking at a next level deeper, but not as technologists. So I'm looking at a Business Insider article today, Ben. Market Insider section of Business Insider. Here are five theories for the Bitcoin price spike. I want to run them past you.
Okay.
All right. And I think we've already mentioned the first one. The fact that it's a safe haven, simultaneous to Chinese trade war, plus a bigot 4-month dip in the equities market. Number two, mainstream appeal. Institutions are scrambling to get in ahead of traditional brokerages. All right, Fidelity, Ameritrade, E-Trade, so they could dump on the next wave that's not fully realized, to my best knowledge. Not sure how institutions have lined up to make it possible, but it could pop and we would see it because that's all been put in place and we just didn't fully understand it yet. Number three, exodus from altcoins. This article is saying that the other ones lost value. It's all been moved into Bitcoin. Now we're getting into some recent scandals. Number four, and perhaps you heard of this. I don't fully understand it. The Bitfinex scandal drove Bitcoin purchases. You'll have to read the article to really get into why that's true, unless you know about Bitfinex and their scandal. But essentially, that altcoin did some stupid stuff and wanted its money back and undo the ledger.
Yeah, major exchange. And really one, and there's all these names and brands out there, but if you look back, there's just a few of the major exchanges. Of course, there's Coinbase, but Bitfinex is one of them. I don't know. I don't have the exact details of that scandal, but I do know people have spoofed accounts and kind of hacked through passwords. Does not mean they hacked the blockchain ledger, but they can get in there and kind of imposter a user, send all their Bitcoin to a dark web or to many different wallets that are anonymous. And then once they catch that, people will cry foul like, hey, you know, I want my Bitcoin back. I want to fix the ledger. This is an unauthorized transaction. But in the Bitcoin world, it's wild, wild west. If you lose your stash of gold, it don't come back to you. That is one people could say negative, because with a Visa card or whatever, if you are scammed, you can go back and they will charge back if there's good evidence that you didn't order it.
Could an insurance market for this emerge?
That's interesting. I don't know. That's a great point. Maybe we should get on top of that. We'd be billionaires in the future. Actually, I do know that they did call in and they are reimbursing those coins. I don't know if it's through an insurance policy per se or a hedge, or they're just taking it out of a trust.
Right, but that's never happened.
They are reimbursing that's all those losses out of the exchange. I don't know if it's insurance policy. I should check that for sure, though.
So a wild theory suggests that Bitfinex's owners are part of this, you know, problem, scandal, just to drive up its price relative to Bitcoin again, to replenish cash's exchange reserves. So you always have that angle of the owners or the founders of one of these altcoins just doing things to manipulate it that drives price up. And we're seeing some really bad capitalist behavior at times among the coins.
Yep, absolutely. So really, there has to be some trust between users on this, but the enforcement of that is only via zeros and ones. And the rules are set. If you lose your private key and someone steals your coins, you're screwed. It's really nothing you can do about it. These exchanges, if they're hacked or somehow lose your coins because they are the custodian of your coin and they lose it, then luckily they're liquid and pay it back in this instance. But there's going to be times, and there actually have been times in the past when these exchanges couldn't. That's Mt. Gox. And you and I were talking a little bit about that earlier. Mt. Gox, essentially think of Pokemon cards, right? The trading card game. Okay. Now, there was something called Magic the Gathering. There still is. Still very popular. You have characters, and you get armor cards and cast spells and all this other stuff, right? So this place called Mt. Gox, M-T-G-O-X, Mt. Gox. Its primary purpose was as a forum or a lobby auctioneer site for these cards and Pokemon cards and all this kind of crap like that.
And they got turned on.
And they got turned on to Bitcoin, and that was the first way Americans could use U.S. banking institutions like to deposit.
And it never did anything with kids' cards again. It just became a...
Until it eventually collapsed because it was hacked, and guess what? People didn't get their money back.
Oh.
And luckily, I missed that. I tried to sign in with Mt. Gox, and it was like a 4 to 6 week period before they confirmed
you. Handle it. Yeah.
I couldn't handle it. Exactly.
And that's what happened last time.
I got
time
lucky in a way.
Coinbase couldn't even handle new subscribers.
Right. Exactly. Right. So you got to remember, these exchanges are totally different than the product. You know.
So number five on this list, the final one, to be confused with Bitfinex's scandal.
Binance. Yeah, there's been several of them recently.
The Binance hack.
Keep them together.
Number five, the Binance hack proved Bitcoin's integrity. After hackers stole $40 million of Bitcoin from Binance last week, the cryptocurrency exchange's CEO, Changpeng Zhao, proposed a rollback of the blockchain to reverse the illicit transactions and recover the funds. The fierce backlash to his suggestion may have bolstered Bitcoin's image as a legitimate currency and fuel demand for it.
Mm.
I think Binance may have helped Bitcoin a lot with their suggestion of rollback of the chain, wrote a user. I'm not going to say his name. 220,000 pieces or something. He's just part of
just
the community.
Yeah, some username.
That notion was swiftly shut down by the community, parentheses, users, developers, miners, almost within a single day. I would say more than just users, is owners of
this.
So, I mean, there's movement in the crypto community, which kind of is an echo chamber among itself.
Yeah.
We at Patriot Power can talk inside that echo chamber
right.
At this level.
Yeah.
Probably not a lot further.
We're just about as deep as we go.
Understand that.
We know
that's
more
what's
than
going on.
Exactly. We know this. You know, we have a greater understanding than 95-98% of folks out there. But there are true experts out there. And hey, we don't try to argue and say that we are. Go check some out on YouTube. But beware, a lot of snake oil salesmen, and a lot of people lost a lot in the last burst of the market. You know, maybe this will run up to 20,000 and beyond, but maybe, you know, 8,000 is great, and all of a sudden we have a major issue.
As a disclaimer for this show,
yeah,
and only speaking on my own behalf, it was not advised to put any money into this that they can't afford to never see again. It's
absolutely
like Monte Carlo. However, how often do you have an opportunity in your lifetime to see a 4,000%, 8,000% gain in an anonymous online platform?
Right, exactly. At this point, you probably missed out on the 4,000% gain, but a 400% gain may not be out of the cards. But remember, there's a lot of coins out there. Which one's going to be the best? Which one is the Fed and the banksters going to allow to live if they can take down any of them? I don't know. That's a real tough question. We got a lot more other stuff to talk about, though, too. Trade wars. And, of course, Future Danger News Blitz coming up. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour. Cochran here. Hope you're enjoying the show. Now, here at the Patriot Broadcast Network, we're always doing our best to try to bring you unfiltered grassroots news and analysis. But guess what? We need your help. If you have questions or suggestions, if you want to be a guest or know someone who'd like to share their insights with us live on the air, please do reach out. You can find all of our contact information, social media, at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Let us know how we can better our fight against the banks, or globalists, and their cabal. We need your help. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network, or even search Patriot Broadcasting Network on Google and look for our Don't Tread on Me logo. Keep up the good fight.
Stay right here for more of the Patriot Power Hour, the flagship show of the Patriot Broadcasting Network.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe.
Welcome back to the Patriot Power Hour, segment 2, News Blitz from FutureDaily.com. May 13th, 2019, column 1, News Censorship. Deep fake videos that can make anyone seem to say anything are on their way. That technology is around the corner, and it's going to be used for propaganda purposes that can be hellacious, if it's what it says it's going to be. We'll get that later. Federal judge orders DC area radio, we're talking about Sputnik Radio, to register as Russian agent under the 1938 Foreign Agents Registration Act. You may be favors the censorship on that basis, but nevertheless, it's censorship of information. Expect First Amendment challenges in that court. Facebook censors Italian anti-globalist pages before EU elections. We've talked in previous episodes about mentioning bad stuff that's happening overseas then. Well, there's a piece, but it's a U.S. company doing it, so it's important to keep your eye on. Academic study exposes Google media bias even further, tracking out their orange news lately censored. We got San Francisco police and the FBI raiding the home of a journalist for not revealing his source. We'll see where that ends up. You know, reporters can be criminal themselves, but if it was simply he was not revealing his source, that's problematic, and it is a sign of what California is, a police state, if true. Privacy annihilated. We got a great article from Katie Fitzpatrick at the Frontiers of Surveillance Capitalism. And that's from The Nation, a typically a leftist, traditionally left-leaning news magazine, the leftist news magazine. But points are being made on that side of the aisle about privacy. You can read about it. It's interesting to see. Fourth Amendment news, warrantless child strip search case coming up to test the immunity doctrine, saying that the local governments can't be sued for outrageous behaviors. It was a decision in the 70s or 80s that set all of court law this way, and it might reach the Supreme Court and be undone. Congress demands details again from the NSA phone surveillance operation. Very much wild Congress makes me worried about that. Never really speaks again. On the Peter Strzok, James Comey front, complete collapse of the U.S. judicial system as we knew it. The conventions, the mores, obliterated by this group. President asserts executive privilege to keep the full Mueller report secret as the Attorney General is held in contempt of Congress. Fired FBI director says fired China espionage chief Strzok. Quote, very talented agent, but his texts, quote, hurt the institution. So even Comey has to admit it. Strzok was corrupt as hell. Ex-rap artist accused of funneling millions in foreign cash to Obama's re-election. 2012. That news comes out, what, 7 years late? But nevertheless, foreign cash corrupting our election. It's a real thing. Blatant constitutional abuse in California. Not only are they just sending SWAT teams to reporters, seizing all of their electronics up in San Francisco, California is advancing a bill to allow school faculty, employers, and co-workers to file what's now known as gun seizure orders, where they just abrogate the Second Amendment off of an accusation by someone else without a trial, without proof, without due process. No, this doesn't carry the Second Amendment specific news, although it completely affects the Second Amendment rights you exercise in California. It's more about just the widespread abuse of the Constitution, because the Fifth Amendment for due process and the Fourth Amendment to search to get the gun was the sort of Constitution, seizable. We got the Second, Fourth, and Fifth Amendment being blasted at the same time. That's the bill advancing in California. Maybe that state has a sense not to bring it out, but I wouldn't put it past it at this point. And also, in straight up Second Amendment news, Washington government signed a series of firearm anti-ownership bills from the Pacific Northwest, specifically Washington State. You're probably fully aware of that, but other people from other regions should be aware of what they're doing, because they're going to use the president to bring it to a federal level during the next Democrat administration, guaranteed. Column 2, security news. Saudi oil tankers hit by sabotage attacks in Oman amid Iranian standoff. The Iranians hit the ships, hurt them but didn't sink them, and did it on the Indian Ocean side, showing the world they can disrupt oil transport even if it doesn't pass through the Strait of Hormuz, because the Gulf Arabs have built pipelines to try to avoid this problem. Well, they sabotage ships. So they're destroying stuff, not hurting people in the Persian Gulf theater of that Sunni world led by the Saudis and the Shiite world led by the Iranians. How well all the various factions would ever line up in time in those countries is only your guess, Ben, as good as mine. But we watch it. All right. Iranian Special Marine Unit, Revolutionary Guard, did that. Korean Peninsula. North Korea faces food crisis after worst harvest in a decade. And it was just disclosed this past week that the U.S. seized a North Korean commercial ship last year amid talks with the North Koreans. They actually went to the point of seizing commercial ships, not warships. All right. FBI uncovers terror training camp in Alabama. You can read the article on column 2. Israeli missile defense showing signs of weakness. Last time, the Palestinians from Gaza fired a number of missiles. A lot more getting through, and that would be inevitably be a testbed for various factions, including the Iranians, to try to see how they can beat the Iron Dome. Interesting to watch, and important to know the balance of power, because it could be a predictor of worse things to come. All right. And finally, in security news, over 1% of the Guatemalan and Honduran populations entered the United States since last September. Well, only 1% of the entire countries. All right, moving on. Column 4, volcanic activity is moderately low. We have natural phenomena from meteorites to megastorms, low-level earthquake, nothing particularly noteworthy in the natural world. But nice little article here on the secret science that made gene-edited babies in China. The whole article is describes how the scientist that we've reported here eventually got himself in a lot of hot water, disowned by the Chinese community, scientific community and political leadership, after obviously not being the only guy doing it, just the only guy talking about doing it. That's Wall Street Journal report. Interesting read. And column 3. Where we started the show. Here you go. Dow plunges 720 points at Monday low. Trade war with China wipes $1 trillion off of world equity markets. NASDAQ posts biggest daily percent loss of this year. S&P 500 and Dow post biggest daily loss in 4 months. Our archive on futuredanger.com under the indicator stock market crashes shows a 420-point dip in March. Then it goes back to what everybody's reporting today since January 3rd. So these things have happened. They don't even match the losses that were suffered and then regained in December. All right. Trade war simultaneous. Carried under the indicator trade war. Trade severely declines. Days ago, China was vowing to retaliate after U.S. hikes tariffs. So they're not doing this out of the blue. They forecasted about 5 days early. USA begins raising tariffs on all remaining $300 billion. Of Chinese imports came next. China puts tariffs today on $60 billion of American goods. That's hitting Monday, simultaneous with that loss in the markets. And the president has made it known that he may tariff the last remaining $325 billion in Chinese goods. I was listening to Bloomberg on my way over to do this show, where they're talking about some of the categories of imports that the Chinese are now going to raise tariffs on are live foxes and asses and other livestock classes. That's a real thing. I'm not sure what our ass exports to China are, but they're going down.
They're going down.
Yeah, and meanwhile, the
future danger exclusive.
17.6 million federal government employees are on the dole. Some of them are military and other key functions that obviously you got to have, but 17.6, not all of them are. In fact, that number probably excludes the active military, so all of the bureaucracy. 17.6 million people. It's bigger than countries. That's
More than 5% of the U.S. population, including children.
In the background, we got economic news like a report that more than 7,000 robots will work in construction by 2025. Obviously, these are going to be machines that a human operator stands nearby and keeps in control. They will, you know, they won't be autonomous work sites, but that's a heck of a lot of robotic force going to what used to be done by a lot of people. And we get treasury rates popping up a few days ago. That was simultaneous to the president giving China one more month to agree to a trade deal. Trump did that. You know, he's putting ultimatums down, and we haven't seen anything like it before. And finally, in the background, like it always is, really brings out the bankster breaker side of my co-host. Federal government budget deficit grew 38% in the first 7 months of fiscal 2019. Doesn't matter how good the economy is, they just borrow more.
Right, and one of the biggest purchasers of that debt is China. And if we have a trade war with them, it may not help get the best price for our treasuries anymore.
The dumping of Chinese treasuries could be active within the next 72 hours, I would forecast. If they go there and start actually selling.
That's like DEFCON 3 or 2.
It's a big hit, but it's been done in the past. The last 2 years, we've seen sell-offs.
Yeah, but very minimal. Like I'm saying like, over a month period, they saw 30%, 20-30% of
it. Now, this is like...
That would be ugly.
Pushing on a waterbed in one place and it'll bulge in another. You start doing, you know, twister squares on top of a waterbed. You get a strangely shaped and hard to stay even on course. But if you start driving... If the Chinese stop buying the debt and start selling, whatever the difference, right? They're not supporting U.S. debt. There's got to be other places where problems emerge for them. What hurts them next if that happens?
What happens with China when they do that?
It may hurt us in places, but it's going to hurt them too. We're intertwined.
Well, if they're selling their, if they sell enough treasuries to affect the price, then they're shooting themselves in the foot to some degree because they hold a whole bunch of treasuries and other U.S. assets. And if those assets start to go down, especially very quickly, China's own net worth is going to go down. So like you said, it is a war, though.
Are
it's
they
like,
in a debt trap with us?
Exactly. It's like, but, and the same thing with tariffs, export, import. But I'm glad you're putting the debt. I think that's as important or more than the tariffs and trade war. But in both cases, we are pretty much trapped with them. And if one of us goes down, the other one as well. But it seems like Trump and friends are trying to bank on, maybe they're right, maybe they're wrong, is they will do more damage to China than will be done to us. Is that true? Well, we'll find out, especially if this continues to escalate.
I'm interested in seeing.
But we'll definitely.
I'm interested in seeing how it comes out, as long as we don't start shooting at each other or spark mutual recessions that are become a cause for a century of the legacies of Bernanke Keynesianism. They'll all surge back and say Trump's way of doing things can never work, and you know, we're a debt enslaved consumer services economy for the rest of our lives. You know, everyone in our children's lives.
That's a great thing to worry about. We are coming up on the bottom of the hour. We're going to be covering this throughout probably the rest of the show, and as the weeks and months continue, if things continue to escalate. But think of it this way: if we do, and I'm kind of making these numbers up, but relatively. 30 points of damage, 30% damage to the Chinese economy. And that cost about 15% damage to us. We beat them 2-1. But that 15% against us could be enough to just bring us into the economic dark age.
I wonder who's thinking about destabilization of that regime in the Pentagon, and if it emerges, if it is a communist state that collapses fast, who's ready to be prepared for all fallout of Chinese collapse, thumbnail of collapse. More coming up. Segment 3 of Picture Power.
Okay, folks, here's your chance. The Patriot Broadcasting Network has highly affordable advertising options for you. Our shows and our host websites have a very special audience. These are Americans who are preparing to take care of themselves and their families during difficult times. Start reaching this audience with your product, service, or cause. Interested in broadcasting your podcast on PBN? We're interested in talking to you about that, too. Don't wait. Email info@futuredanger.com for more information.
You are listening to the Patriot Broadcasting Network, sponsored by ReadyMadeResources.com.
We're back. Patriot Power Hour, second half of the show. This live May 13th, 2019 episode, Patriot Power Hour. So we were talking a little bit of tariffs, a little bit of debt, a little bit of a game of chicken here between Trump and China. Do you think they're going to accelerate? They have been accelerating this trade war and many other acts of aggression. But I think it's at that point right now where it could back off and not much damage would have been done. But if we continue down this road, it's really going to start to add up. You got any thoughts on what may be next or what Trump's thinking? Maybe it's
next. Measure damage in multiple dimensions, right? So economics is only one of them. Diplomatic, military, just cultural relations head to head. When this sort of thing happens, it can change relationships between countries. And on the military level, the indicator, the potential, and we're always looking for signs at a low level. They're always going to come at a low level first. They have before every other major war. What we're operating with and against in the Chinese, especially in the air and naval sphere. This indicator is blue right now as we broadcast on Monday night. Because of this trade war, I would predict in the next 72 hours, you'll see military forces do something that make headlines. That is just the back and forth of this. And on diplomatic fronts, China and the United States are all around the world trying to line up trade blocks for and against and with each other. This trade war is not just, one-to-one. It's many-to-many with two major gravitational power centers of power, us and the Chinese, trying to have the entire world gravitate behind us one way or the other on trade. Splitting continents like Africa, right, of course.
Of course.
And South America, neo-colonialism from the Chinese perspective is, constant for those natural resources. What happens when the demand slows? What? How do they start behaving in those places where they've already built up an infrastructure?
All right. Well, I just want to drive home the point that this is going to cause a lot of damage to the American economy too, and that's just the economic facts of it. But we're able to use this as a catalyst for other power plays or other ways to get over on them in a Machiavellian way.
But is it not surging the GDP?
Businesses
are rushing to fill the gap.
China just put tariffs on 60 billion of American goods. They already had a lot of tariffs on us, of course. But they're increasing that. And it's just going to.
These aren't real numbers yet, though.
Right. But now we're starting to get
them. That's some estimate by somebody. They're saying that class of things, once the tariff starts, is going to be worth $60 billion in goods. Or are these numbers coming from last time that class was measured, it was $60 billion?
I mean, We'll have to study the data, I suppose. We don't have time to do that on the air. But I do know that this is real money. And if it continues on for months and years, and it escalates in particular, it'll do real damage to us. It's just we'll do more damage to us or them. And who can handle it better? Just so, like any war.
So my question on all these notes is maybe reality isn't what we think it is yet, and Trump knows possibly something that the rest of us aren't really appreciating yet. These numbers are coming out of departments that were staffed and operated by the previous administration. As we've amply noted on this show, the Department of Justice at the senior leadership levels was corrupt to the core.
Yeah.
We saw the IRS in action during the Obama presidency, corrupt as can be, and never brought to justice. And the previous attorney general was also held in contempt for withholding documents about the Fast and Furious ATF scandal. So the idea that these numbers are being measured in any reasonable way, how would Trump even be able to dispute him? He couldn't. He has to go with the numbers he's being given.
Yeah.
But is the Department of Commerce, the Department of Treasury, and the Bureau of Labor, Department of Labor, are they, you know potentially just how much should I trust these numbers?
I would not trust the GDP growth numbers as far as you could throw them in of themselves, but
then they have to be higher, given the theory that career bureaucrats who regardless of political party affiliation,
we're talking about real GDP,
have been disrupted by Trump. Trump's been, sent as a bull into their China shop, and he's wrecking the place. Why would I trust numbers coming out of departments that there's no idea? Congress has not approved dozens and hundreds of federal appointees. They won't take them up. There won't be any staffing of the Trump administration until after
the
next election.
I don't understand, though, what you mean by the numbers, because it's Trump himself saying that these are the numbers, and these numbers have been established by as quote unquote fact in the past. These are the historical annual numbers of Chinese goods,
as measured by a department that how do they choose to measure it?
What's the difference if it's $300 billion or $200 billion? It's still a massive amount. I mean, I know what you mean. It could be $600 billion instead of $300 billion, or vice versa. Definitely makes sense. I don't think it's off by more than an order of magnitude, and
I'll go with that.
Yeah, we've already seen, and this doesn't sound like much, but if you're a dairy farmer or a soy farmer, you're getting your ass handed to you right now. Those profits, and I was actually on Sean Caron's show a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about the specific articles. But I believe it was about $30 billion in lost revenue for those industries, and the U.S. government has subsidized an extra $17 billion. There's still a $13 billion deficit. And that's because China has massive and actually other parts. First off, a lot of these tariffs right now are focused on China. But Trump's also gone to war, and I'm almost just as happy against NAFTA and the TPP, which no one talks about anymore because he owned it, which is great. So I am, in a way, supportive of this, but I just try to play not really devil's advocate per se. This is hurting.
Being realist.
Yeah, this will add to our debt. This will damage real GDP. And especially if they try to use more government to fix the issue, the extra subsidies to the farmers. I guess it's a stopgap. That's not going to really fix the situation either. And also, we got to just remember that, Mexico and Canada, especially Mexico, have been taking advantage of us just as bad as China in terms of the amount of imports and jobs going overseas and whatnot. Now, one thing that really pisses me off about China, though, in particular, so I am supportive of this, I suppose, on the margin for this, is all tech that they've stolen. So all the intellectual property and stuff, that's not even included in these, but they steal billions and billions in technology and whatnot. By now, they've already stolen it all, so it's almost too late, unfortunately. We at least got to try. And that is almost malicious, That's like, that is a national security issue.
Great.
National security issues.
Theft isn't true.
Exactly. That's not Theft exactly. Isn't true. So that's why I'm like, we don't want to be, part of my French bunch of wussies.
If something new came off the ship in Baltimore in 1820 and it had been manufactured in Britain, we just manufacture it. as fast as we could, as fast as we could. These intellectual property conventions and the idea of patents and trademarks and everything else of copyrights are things that are really hard to apply, number one. And number two, have never successfully been done with other civilizations, like an Asian land civilization, which China is. They've never practiced it.
Right, yeah, they don't care. And especially for compared to the West, they definitely wouldn't worry about that, right?
And they did multiple generations under hardcore left.
Yeah, well,
Marxist
exactly.
Leninism, where they were,
totally
everyone
different.
Was in the society was completely taught that property had no, it was.
We can't even imagine that, really.
Being anti-property was a whole different thing.
Exactly. No, that's a whole different paradigm than what we live in, so we got to keep that in mind. But I'm thinking more of a, I agree that it's just human nature to re-engineer, adapt, and improve foreign technology. That's fair. But they're doing it systemically, kind of from a state, as a, you know, an objective of the state, capital S, right?
Yeah.
And by forcing different companies to – here's an example. I worked for a hotel management company, and it was half-owned. It was purchased half-owned by Chinese hotel company, essentially their Marriott, which is, of course, a state-owned enterprise for all intents and purposes in China. And they would bring over a couple times a year 25 to 30 of their executives and technical people to study how we, the American company that was entrepreneurial over 40 years and grew and grew and grew, how we managed reservation systems, the accounting structure, the overall management structure. They came in and just learned all that technology. And that's relatively benign compared to forcing Apple or other countries to hand over their basic software, you know, their kernels, essentially.
Five
right?
guys retired millionaires. And
oh, yeah.
If you're neoconservative, you're trying to say that's capitalism.
No, exactly. I mean, it's such a loaded word, right? I don't know, man.
There's a lot of capitalist, if that's capitalism, there's a lot of capitalistic practices that executives in this country in the 1940s, 50s, 60s would never have thought of doing.
All right, folks, coming up to the final break. We're going to keep this conversation going. Been a strong Patriot Power Hour. A lot of important stuff going on. We're trying to make it entertaining and down to earth, though, so stick with us. Finish up episode 56, part 2.
Want to build a website? Web-based Coding is a leading web design firm building websites since 1998. Veteran-owned and operated, Web-based Coding can build your website. They specialize in WordPress technologies. Develop a beautiful, pixel-perfect website that is stunning on computers, tablets, and phones. Web-based Coding can solve your business problems on the internet, helping you brand or sell your product or service. This company excels in e-commerce through automation, user-friendliness, up-to-date security protocols, and well-written code. Do you have a WordPress website and struggle with it? Web-based coding has programmers that can fix your site, speed it up, and add custom functionality. Call 239-362-6014 for a free consultation. Get a simple quote over the phone or visit webbasedcoding.com to view their portfolio and 5-star testimonials. Do you want to build a website? It begins at webbasedcoding.com.
Achieve situational awareness. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
What you gonna do when they show up in black suits?
Coming in strong for the last segment, Patriot Power Hour. Your host here, Ben the Breaker of Banksters Cochran, and my co-host, Future Dan. Wanted to finish off that story about the hotel management company I worked for. I won't give the full name. It was one of the top third-party hotel managers. Not a Marriott or Hilton per se, but a management company. And guess what? We pretty much went bankrupt before I joined. And those Chinese owners that I said came in, they came in and saved the company. Now, why did the company start to fail? The bubble popped in real estate in 2008, 2009. And guess what? No one was buying hotels. No one was going to hotels. No one was developing hotels. Total bankruptcy, essentially. Chinese came in, purchased half the company. And this is definitely a state company in China. It wasn't just, you know, some entrepreneurial free enterprise hotel management company. Let me tell you what. And so it wasn't just that, as you said, a few executives got rich off of this. Now they did. But it wasn't just that. It was also China being able to invest when on the low, once our economy had all but collapsed during the recession, because they'd been saving up for 10 years, yep. 10, 20 years, saving up a war chest after selling us a bunch of garbage through Walmart and also using massive slave labor and polluting the hell out of their own country. But they had saved up real assets, bought things like that, like a company I worked for, and obviously they're off to the races.
Yeah, buying into the idea that free trade, WTO, at the end of the Clinton Gore presidency, entering into the the Bush-Cheney presidency, that we're going to just open up markets to China, it's all going to be work out well, has proven disastrous in so many respects.
Well, here's a question, because I know you were completely active and aware at that time. I was not. What did they pitch it as? Did they pitch it that it really would be fair and open and good for everybody?
Well, that markets have, that certain players in certain markets specialize and have massive advantages in our intellectual property, our creativity, our innovation, the ability to drive everything that's new, was going to keep us afloat, and that the other side of the Pacific, they wouldn't be able to generate that service-based knowledge economy that we have. And to some extent, that's still true. But to some extent, it doesn't matter anymore when everything else you make and everything that you have to buy comes from them.
Right. Well, that's a great point. All these new innovative American cars that are being put together. Guess what? A lot of imported parts, several from China, especially electronics, right? So electronics and computers, all that. Not just a competitive advantage, but total domination in Asia, and China in particular. Of course, you got South Korea. They have a decent amount. And we're allies with them, but we totally gave away the entire industry. We didn't even keep a little bit in many regards.
Well, yeah, and that was for a long time considered okay. It was natural. It's going to happen. Like when the idea that we weren't going to have – when the last fabric production facilities in the United States were shutting down in the early 2000s, we were talking about Vietnamese workers were working at 7 cents an hour to make the same shirts. At some point, it's logical that some of these things have to leave our shores. It had to happen. They can make shirts. However, how you dealt with a 1 billion person country at the end of this formation that was known in trade study at the time as flying geese theory, with Japan being the goose at the front, South Korea being the next one, Taiwan being the third, then on down the chain, the Philippines being somewhere on that, Vietnam being on it, but one of the third, fourth, fifth, Hong Kong being, at the time an independent, was one of the flying geese up near right after China. Think about the history of the imports from Asia all the way through the 50s. The Japanese were the first to get on their feet. Then we slowly saw a progression where Japan was working higher up the chain of complexity of design, and the other countries were naturally progressing towards the production side. They put the factories in. The labor's cheaper. Okay? But how to deal with China being one of the keys down the end and a communist, centrally planned state to boot, it was the flying geese theory indeed held true, but you had something that wasn't a goose at the end of the thing, like a whale.
Yeah, killer whale. It eats the rest of its kind. Maybe a Komodo dragon. It eats its, its own product, its own eggs, its own babies. So I think this is where tariffs would have been effective. And at some point, okay, so I'm trained in economics and finance, and I know for a fact that a trade war is going to hurt both sides. And you never want to have a trade war. You want to have free trade. And of course, that's from a Keynesian globalist perspective. But at some point, it's not all just about money, 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 or at least maybe it shouldn't be. But this brings up a moral question. Should these tariffs, if they are to be used, should really the justification for them be we don't want to encourage our people to buy slave labor?
Well, you could also just, you know, decide on a national principle that we don't trade with countries that don't elect their governments.
Right. At all. So that would be, see, we're just doing a tariff of between 10 to 25%. But you're saying a not even allowed.
And it was talked
now
about,
that's a trade war.
It was talked about at the time in the late 90s and in the 2000s that, you know, we're dealing with a country that did Tiananmen Square and doesn't elect anybody that's in charge. There's a basis right there on human rights. They would be called a human rights thing. But in my worldview, it's just, you know, all countries owe their citizens liberty. But some citizens in the mass don't demand it from their government either. So we have a, you know, a coin with two faces, that and the coin's a problem. But you know, I would consider China that. Most of the people don't want to even have a vote.
Yeah, I think a lot of that part of the gene pool was executed long ago, you know. So unfortunately, I hope, I'm not anti-Chinese people. I'd love for them to have an uprising just like we need to here in America, just in terms of overall getting the system under our control a little better. It's totally run rampant. But, I mean, we have problems here in America. You think about China, man.
Well, just
way, way worse.
Keep in mind that some of our indicators on future danger are going to cover things going on in China that are mysterious, that are different, that are somewhat dangerous, that we won't for other countries. Like if you know, the Iranian military were going to, you know, mutiny, it would be important Middle East security news, but it wouldn't be a direct threat to the United States. But when riots emerge in China and military starts acting in ways that are noticeably at odds with other power centers in Beijing, which could happen, when, you know, civil unrest and protest and assassination and other acts that are symptoms of a country out of control might emerge, you got to remember we're dealing with China. It's a highly dangerous situation.
Absolutely. And
this trade war potentially could lead there. If,
that's the thing
if
I'm worried about.
If someone loses it and it ain't us.
Right. It's going to be a spiral down and rush resources. And even if, you know, it's like, are there going to be two losers? And if so, which one's going to lose worse? And will either of them collapse enough where another great recession or worse comes into play? And then, of course, you can have a lot more escalations and other things, whether it is cultural, whether military. So I'm worried. We do need to stand up, and you got to remember they have massive tariffs on all of our goods already. So we're just making the playing field even. So I can support Trump in that regard. But this is something that can snowball so quickly. So I don't think this is going to be the last we talk about it. I hope it kind of backs off. I'd rather just China trade fairly with us, and we don't have to have this massive escalation. That'd be nice.
Some of the military headlines you might see in the near future are Chinese warships sailing around the globe, around U.S. territorial waters, submarines emerging. You could see streaks of unidentified missile fire over the Pacific. That's happened before.
We've seen that, yeah, a few years ago.
No one's claimed who exactly did it.
It's been a while.
So it was kind of played off as our military testing out weapons and not admitting it, whereas could it be a Chinese missile that was launched into a, you know, an orbital position to you know, a space.
Or satellite killer test or something.
An ASAT test that flies over U.S. airspace. High altitudes, nevertheless. These things happen and they could pop up. And of course, we got the South China Sea with the artificial dredged islands. We could see freedom of operation, freedom of navigation operations. They're called FONOPs,
okay,
of U.S. destroyers sailing into those waters. We've done it in the last few weeks. Probably air flying B-52s through those sorts of things would be all the military shadows cast from the economic trade war.
Big stuff, big stuff. So, you know, we're going to see what Trump's next move is. He's looking to see if he's going to put tariffs on the remaining goods. So about half of the goods had some sort of tariff. That tariff has been increased. Looking on having the rest. Stocks are selling off. But hey, even though one thing I've always said about future danger, I like how you're realistic with the ratings. You still have this as a low-level indicator. Wake me up when the Dow Jones plunges below 20,000. Until then, this is not a massive issue.
What would that be, a 7%?
From 25,000 down to 20,000? You know, I don't
fifth.
Know. Yeah, it'd be like true bear market.
It'd be 20% drop.
Yeah,
that'd be quite a haircut that would have people crying about IRAs.
Right, but you got to remember, in the last 10 years, we've only seen up, up, up. So that even that is supposed to be expected.
Yeah.
So.
But if you're 65 with a 401k, they don't expect anything but.
Oh, hell no. yeah. One of my friends said, if the Dow hits 20,000, expect riots in the street. I'm like, man, if it's going to be that easy, we might as well get locked and loaded now. But we got to remember, this stuff is very possible. We're going to be trying to cover here on Future Danger, but there's a lot of other stuff going on, even though we've been hitting crypto and tariffs, especially the last few weeks. We've got to keep our eyes open. So keep up with Future Danger and, you know, a wide range of different news.
It's important to also know about Future Danger. The only news I cover for crypto is when it's getting repressed by the government. We're not a website.
Okay, not price action, but more of a true news.
Price action isn't dangerous.
Yeah, you don't have much of the entertainment or the like kind of garbage politics out there, too.
It's not for popular news. It's not for popular dealings of people and it's scandals of personalities. It's straight up what brings about the collapse and how you can know it's coming sooner so you're ready for it if it were to come.
Good stuff, good stuff. All right, well, we had a great episode today. I do declare coming to the end. This May 13th, 2019 episode. We'll be back next week, next Monday, May 20th, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Patriot Power Hour. Thanks, Dan. Great stuff. See you next week. All right, man. All right.
That my son might not understand what I've tried to be. And if I were to be killed in Willard, I would want someone to go to my home and tell my son everything. Everything I did, everything you saw, because there's nothing that I detest more than the stench of lies. And if you understand me, Willard, you will do this for me.
Hey, Ben, the breaker of banksters, Cochran here. Hope you're enjoying the show. Now, here at the Patriot Broadcast Network, we're always doing our best to try to bring you unfiltered grassroots news and analysis, but guess what? We need your help. If you have questions or suggestions, if you want to be a guest or know someone who'd like to share their insights with us live on the air, please do reach out. You can find all of our contact information, social media, at blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network. Let us know how we can better our fight against the Bankster Globalists and their cabal. We need your help. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Broadcasting Network, or even search Patriot Broadcasting Network on Google and look for our Don't Tread on Me logo. Keep up the good fight.